The Champions League drama just keeps on coming. A super sub fires Juventus through to the knockout stage with just seconds to spare in Moscow.
Back to Douglas Costa, still going. What a goal from Douglas Costa to send Juventus through to the round of 16 of the Champions League.
Real Madrid run riot against Galatasaray thanks to their Brazilian teenage sensation.
That's Benzema towards Rodrigo! It's the night that a star is born in the UEFA Champions League. The 18-year-old wraps it up and it's a hat-trick for the Brazilian.
Last year's beaten finalist Tottenham have one foot in the last 16 again after playing pinball in Belgrade.
Kane with a volley across, off the crossbar now by Son, and that is put in. And Giovanni Lo Celso has scored for Tottenham Hotspur at about the fifth attempt.
It was also a great night's work for Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern, but find out how a defender ended up in goal and a goalkeeper won a penalty. Welcome to the show with myself, Chris Parrott, alongside me, the European football expert, Andy Brassel. And congratulations to the first three teams through to the last 16. Bayern, Juventus and Paris Saint-Germain, three big hitters, will be playing Champions League football in the new year.
Yes, they will. And it could have been Manchester City as well. It could have been Atletico Madrid. But it has been a night that hasn't quite matched Tuesday, because that would have been absolutely impossible, but there have been plenty of thrills and incredible moments nevertheless.
And some extraordinary storylines, which we'll get onto in a moment, as I mentioned, including goalkeepers. Let's run through all of Wednesday's results, though. In Group A, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Club Brugge 0, enough to put them through. Real Madrid 6, Galatasaray 0. Group B, Bayern 2, Olympiakos 0, enough to put the German champions into the last 16. And Svena Zvezda 0, Tottenham 4. Group C, Atalanta 1, Manchester City 1. Dinamo Zagreb 3, Shakhtar 3. And in Group D, Lokomotiv Moskva 1, Juventus 2, which saw them go into the knockout stages. And Bayer Leverkusen 2, Atletico 1. That really doesn't tell half of the storylines. But we're going to start our look back at Wednesday's action in Moscow, where Juventus sealed their place in the knockout stages with an injury time winner against Lokomotiv in Group D.
Takes aim now, Ronaldo through the wall. Oh, one bounce. It's Joseph Gilerman and into the back of the net. He's dropped it, the goalkeeper. What a mistake to gift Juventus the lead, and Aaron Ramsey was the player on hand. Good cross, header goalwards, and tapped in for the equaliser as the ball came back off the post. It's Alexi Miranchuk who levels things up. Back to Douglas Costa, still going. What a goal from Douglas Costa to send Juventus through to the round of 16 of the Champions League. And Juventus have got the game won in stoppage time. Lokomotiv 1, Juventus 2.
Well, you heard there a wonderful finish from Douglas Costa, a sprinkling of Brazilian magic. And after that goal, we can hear it from him now.
Yeah, it was a really hard game, but we play very well, because by the way, here it plays a little bit hard because it's very cold, and then my teammates was amazing. We keep calm, and then at the end we scored a second goal, and it was really important because I was long time at the physiotherapy, and now I come back to the team and I help my team.
Well, you heard from him there. He's been out for some time, Douglas Costa. You always thought he was going to be a key piece of the Maurizio Sarri jigsaw. He came off the bench, not for Cristiano Ronaldo, who was then substituted. Didn't look too happy when Paulo Dybala came on. But Sarri pulled off a masterstroke, you might say. And even though Juve weren't too convincing, they are through with two games to spare.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the best coaches are often daring ones. And that's certainly the case with Maurizio Sarri. Raised a few eyebrows, especially with that substitution of Cristiano Ronaldo. But of course, the other thing when you're coach of Juventus is you have to balance keeping so many quality players happy and so many forward and midfield players especially happy. I mean, he had a big choice before kickoff. Was he going to play Rugani or was he going to play Mary Demarel? Went for Rugani, and you're never going to keep everyone happy. But having those players on their toes, ready to come on and make a decisive impact, shows that he is keeping everyone on a short leash.
A tale of the tape. Aaron Ramsey, as you heard, credited with the goal on 4 minutes to put Juventus ahead. Then Alexei Miranchuk equalised after 12 minutes. Costa's winner in the third minute of added on time. Locomotive, though, were really in this game and won't believe in truth now. They have twice lost 2-1 to Juventus and could easily have picked up 2 points, maybe even more, over the last couple of weeks against the old lady.
Well, the thing is, they've been losing for probably about a combined total of around 12, 13 minutes in those two games. It's astonishing. And Yuri Siomin, we know he's someone who knows Lokomotiv backwards. He knows European football backwards. So he made his side incredibly well prepared. I thought they couldn't possibly be as unlucky again as they were in that first leg. But, you know, maybe that the lateness of that Douglas Costa goal just took the biscuit.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's hear from the Locomotive defender, Benedikt Hrvatec, who thinks that he coped very well against both Cristiano Ronaldo and Paulo Dybala.
I think we defend them quite good. I mean, they are fantastic players and they are with a fantastic individual quality. And you cannot defend everything when they are attacking with their speed, with their quality. But I think we did it quite well. I mean, we tried to defend very tight together, very close under the lines or between the lines. And like I said, I think in the end we deserved more.
Well, this is how finite football is in the Champions League. Before that Costa goal, Leverkusen were going to be on 4 points and be 4 points ahead of Leverkusen. Then, of course, they conceded and Juventus went through. And then in the late match in that section, Leverkusen then went and beat Atletico by 2-1. So they're now ahead of Lokomotiv. Massive victory for the German side, probably now in the battle to finish third.
Yeah, absolutely. Although Lokomotiv do still have that home game against Leverkusen, but it's a lifeline for Peter Bosz and company.
Of course, Atletico would have qualified for the last 16 had they won. It was a tough game, I think, in every sense. There was a red card, but Leverkusen, with 0 points coming into match day four, perhaps one of the shocks of the night to go toe-to-toe with Atleti and beat them.
Yeah, and I think you look at the first half and think that Leverkusen were almost in a bit of a spot. As you said in commentary, Chris, at one point they had 72% possession, Leverkusen, which some will say, well, you expect against Atletico. Leverkusen aren't a team that are comfortable with possession. They aren't a team that roll with possession. They're a reactive, counter-attacking team that like to swarm their opponents. So for them, the lucky break was the extraordinary own goal, really, from Thomas Partey in the first half, near the end of the first half, which I'm sure he couldn't do again if he tried. Yep. It was an absolute freak goal. Second of great quality from Kevin Volland. I think a player who's got a lot more to give to the UEFA Champions League. And they still managed to almost give it away near the end when Alvaro Morata scored one in stoppage time. And even though there was barely any time left, had a wonderful chance to get a second. And how vital could that save from Lukas Radetzky from Morata be?
There was a proper Sunday League football dust up as well near the end of the game when every single player were pushing and shoving, almost actually like secondary school football, but the referee just showed four yellow cards. He probably could have shown 15 or 16.
He showed four yellow cards in the space of about 7.5 seconds, though. it was a little bit following on from Stamford Bridge last night, I suppose.
It certainly was. This is how Group D is, though, after four games. Juventus through top with 10 points. Behind them, Atletico with 7 points. Then come Leverkusen with 3 points, just ahead of Lokomotiv on the same amount of points. But still, the second spot yet to be decided, and who knows who's going to reach the Europa League and finish third in that section. To Group A now, where Paris Saint-Germain are through to the knockout stages after beating Club Brugge by 1-0. And also in this section, Real Madrid thrashed Galatasaray 6-0 to put themselves in a great position to go through too.
Rodrigo inside his man, shoots and scores brilliantly into the bottom corner. The young Brazilian with a picture book goal, and Real Madrid lead against Galatasaray. Marcelo left hand side, the cross, oh he's got another! What a welcome to the UEFA Champions League! Rodrigo 5 metres out with a header into the far corner. The bearded Sergio Ramos looking to put Real Madrid home and dry really with 13 minutes gone, and he's only gone and Panenka'd it above the goalkeeper. Real Madrid 3, Galatasaray 0. Loose ball by Nagatomo. Benzema 4-0. Galatasaray gifting the ball to Real Madrid inside their own penalty area. Real Madrid 4, Galatasaray 0. Lovely ball for Carvajal. Across goal, Benzema's there to put the cherry on top of the icing on the Real Madrid cake tonight. It's 2 for Benzema. It's marvellously made by Dani Carvajal. Real Madrid 5, Galatasaray 0. They're back. That's Benzema towards Rodrigo! It's the night that a star is born in the UEFA Champions League. The 18-year-old wraps it up, and it's a hat-trick for the Brazilian. What a night for him. What a night for Real Madrid. Real Madrid 6, Galatasaray 0.
Commentary there from John Bradley, who joins us now. 18 years, 301 days, Rodrigo. The youngest ever Brazilian goal scorer in Champions League history and the first player to score twice within the first 7 minutes of a match. I get the sense we're going to be looking back, as you mentioned in your commentary there, as the evening when we saw a new Champions League top player be born.
168 days, Chris. That's the difference between him and Raul, the youngest ever player to score a hat-trick in the UEFA Champions League. And he went on to have a pretty good career at Real Madrid, didn't he? Great night for Rodrigo, a perfect hat-trick as well. The first a left foot, the second a header, the final goal with the final kick of the game with his right foot. 2 for the old warhorse Karim Benzema as well, and a Sergio Ramos penalty. Galatasaray's joint biggest defeat in their history, by the way. An awful night for Fatih Terim and the Turkish Giants, but for Real Madrid, a real statement after two stuttering performances on match day 1 and 2. They have announced their return to form with back-to-back victories against Galatasaray. And, of course, now just need to avoid defeat on match day 5, and they will be heading through into the knockout stages of this competition as per usual.
John, what was the difference this time? Because they just about got the job done in Istanbul on match day 3, but they looked a little blunt.
Being brutally honest, Galatasaray's defending let them down at the crucial moments. There were times where a runner would get away and wouldn't be tracked, gifting the ball to Real Madrid inside their own penalty area with a loose pass to allow Benzema to get the fourth goal. And really in the second half, it was just a matter of if Real Madrid stepped it up again, how many more they could score. They were very, very flat by the time that 3-goal 13-minute blast had finished at the start of the game. And really for Galatasaray, they were playing for pride. The players sinking to their knees and lying on their backs at the final whistle, distraught at what had happened. 3,000 fans had made the journey to watch Galatasaray tonight, and they will be devastated. This is a very proud Turkish football club, a really bad night for them. But what a huge, significant night for Real Madrid, who have already dropped 11 points in La Liga this season. They've been stuttering in this competition, but, you know, this is a big, bold statement written in black ink.
Zinedine Zidane will be a very happy man. Real Madrid, as John said, not quite through, but almost there. And they were bottom of the section, remember, and they went to Istanbul a couple of weeks ago. Elsewhere in Group A, Paris Saint-Germain beat Club Brugge by 1-0. Mauro Icardi with the winner. Keylor Navas saved a second-half penalty. So Paris Saint-Germain through. 4 wins from 4. And we always think about goals with Paris Saint-Germain, but they are yet to concede in the competition this season, Andy Brassel.
Well, they've got Galactico goalkeeper now in Keylor Navas. And it's interesting how things work out, isn't it, with loan players as well in the UEFA Champions League. Remember going back 15 years now when Fernando Morientes made those huge contributions for Monaco on their way to the final against his parent club, Real Madrid. Well, of course, and Mbajian, who stepped up to take that penalty for Club Brugge. If he'd had scored that, he pretty much would have put Galatasaray, his parent club, who he's on loan from, out of European competition. but he didn't. So it will be Brugge and Galatasaray probably battling it out for the UEFA Europa League place.
And I'll get a text from Fatih Terim later when he catches up with what happened in that match. This is how Group A is then. Paris Saint-Germain top, 12 points through. Real Madrid second, 7 points almost through. Club Brugge 2 points. Galatasaray at the foot on 1 point. Next, we're going to head to Group B. Last year's losing finalist Tottenham eased to a win over Crvena Zvezda in Belgrade, but their first goal was scored in bizarre fashion.
And he's found Kane, a heavy touch, but Kane, he gets it back, hits the post, he comes back to Son, off the line, Dele Alli's trying to pick it up inside the penalty area, the header seemed to flatten Dele Alli, Kane with a volley across, off the crossbar now by Son, and then it's put in! And Giovanni Lo Celso has scored for Tottenham Hotspur! At about the fifth attempt, they struck the post and the bar. It was cleared off the line, but if at first you don't succeed, keep on trying. And Tottenham appear to have the lead. And Giovanni Lo Celso has his first goal for the club.
Go and watch that goal on UEFA.com and UEFA.tv. Richard Connolly, you heard with the commentary. It was the key moment. It was baffling how many attempts they had, but eventually they got it quite literally over the line, and then the floodgates opened.
Yeah, Spurs had 10 attempts on goal in that first half, and you just heard 5 of them in that particular chunk of 30 seconds of commentary. So, yes, that clearly was the moment of the first half. But either side of that, before the interval, Crvena Zvezda had really clear chances. And Milan Pavkov, who was the hero exactly 1 year ago when Red Star beat Liverpool in a terrific result for them. I mean, he had the clearest of them. A presentable chance, 10 metres out, right in the middle of goal, and just Gazzaniga in the Spurs goal to beat. Gazzaniga guessed one way and then saved with his feet when Pavkov's attempted finish really went down the middle of the goal. Mm. He had a lot of goal to aim at. At the end of the half, Van La Parra went through on goal after a heavy touch wrong-footed the Spurs defence, and his effort at the near post, I think, got a touch from Gazzaniga onto that post, and the ball went eventually away to safety, although it ricocheted back off Davinson Sanchez and then onto the Spurs crossbar before it was eventually cleared. So, yes, that Spurs goal was huge in the context of the game. It might not have been decisive were it not for, I'm afraid, poor finishing on the account of Crvena Zvezda. And Spurs, of course, eventually were clinical in the second half. But Crvena Zvezda missed the chance to make things much tighter and more nervy for Spurs.
The second half goals, Son 2 in 4 minutes on 57 and 61. Then Christian Eriksen adding a late fourth, having come off the bench 5 minutes from time. We can hear now from the Tottenham manager, Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah, I think it was a very good game. Fantastic result for us. I think from the beginning, I think we were strong, and the approach of the game, I think, was very good. Of course, always you need some luck because how we score, I think, was in a key moment, and of course we didn't concede a massive save from Paulo and few action, and I think we controlled the game. I'm happy for the 3 points. I think we are in a good, very, very good place now.
Mauricio Pochettino there. Richard, not much has gone his or Tottenham's way this season. But when we saw the team sheet tonight, is this more the team actually that he would have liked to play? Foyth in the right of defence, Ndombele, Lo Celso. Summer signings that he hasn't been able to field. Is this more maybe that the team that had he had them fit that he might have played all campaign long?
Well, possibly. I mean, certainly it gives a bit of a glimpse of the future, I think. Mm. And Ndombele has come in for big money, made an initial impact, got injured, got out of the side, and then come back. But today was a match that he really took a grip of. Lo Celso was excellent, his first start, his first goal for the club. Foyth at right back was very competent tonight. All three of those players are young guys in whom Spurs have invested a lot of money, and they are going to be around for a long time. They'll take a lot from tonight.
They certainly will. Elsewhere in that section, Bayern winners by 2-0 against Olympiacos. Robert Lewandowski, of course, 21 for the season, and Ivan Perisic with a late second. So Bayern through tonight, 4 wins and 4, 12 points. Tottenham second on 7 points. Crvena Zvezda third on 3 points. Olympiacos stranded at the foot of the section on 1 point. To Group C now, where some extraordinary things happened late in the game. The scores were this: Atalanta 1, Manchester City 1, which wasn't good enough for City to go through despite them taking the lead. In the other game in the section, Dinamo Zagreb 3, Shakhtar Donetsk 3. But Andy Brassel, at the end of the game, Kyle Walker was in goal for Manchester City. And in the other game in the section, the Shakhtar goalkeeper went up for a corner and won a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, to put this into context, Dinamo were leading 3-1, 3 minutes into stoppage time. And you got a goal back from Junior Moraes, a very reliable goal scorer, of course. And then Shakhtar, with very little time to go, kept on pushing forward. The referee, Felix Britt, gave a penalty initially, it looks like, for a foul on Tyson. And then it was Piatov being wrestled to the floor by Teofil Katerin, verified by VAR and nervelessly put away by Tete to give them the advantage in the group, Shakhtar.
Yeah, because otherwise Dinamo would have been 3 points ahead of them and in control of their destiny. So that's what happened with the goalkeeper at the Stadion Maksimir in Zagreb. I mentioned that Kyle Walker was in goal at the end. It's so baffling that my brain has gone. We can hear from Kyle Walker now and Pep Guardiola after that 1-1 draw at San Siro against Atalanta.
I try and sometimes banter the keepers in training, telling them to catch it and stuff, but as I found tonight, sometimes you do have to take two touches. Listen, it's all jokes aside, we came here to get, you know, a point or a victory. We know it was going to be difficult because they play man-to-man. They're a good team and they're in the Champions League for a reason. So it's come away from here with, you know, how we ended the game with a draw. It's a good point and, you know, we'll take that on now.
In this competition, you know that you have your chances, your moments. And when you have your moments, you have to take it. If you don't, because the opponents always have their moments. But and the problems that we had, and we make an incredible, good first half, because I know exactly, you don't ask the Italian teams how difficult it is to play against Atalanta. So the first half we were outstanding in all senses, and the second half we suffered a lot. But and after that, the last 10-15 minutes, we had the situation they had with the new keeper that we have in the squad. So was difficult.
Pep Guardiola there after his City side drew 1-1 away at Atalanta. Raheem Sterling put them ahead after 7 minutes. Gabriel Jesus then missed the penalty shortly before half-time. And Mario Pašalić, on loan from Chelsea, equalised for Atalanta 4 minutes into the second half. City would have been through with 3 points. The reason that Kyle Walker was in goal was because Ederson came off at the break as a precaution. Claudio Bravo came on. He then got sent off with 9 minutes left, which is why Walker was in goal. And you mentioned there that sometimes he trains with the goalkeepers. Everyone loves the goalkeeper going in goal, apart from the fans of that team.
Absolutely. And he might train with the goalkeepers. More training required, I feel. But Atalanta value for that draw in the second half. Thought they were excellent after the break.
And that, of course, is their first point. Not a bad result for City, but they would have liked to get the job done, particularly, as I mentioned, having taken the lead and then having a penalty for 2-0.
They would have done. The only thing I would say is going forward and talking about the twists between Dinamo and Shakhtar, who obviously you would expect one of them to finish up in second place. You could argue that that draw is actually quite bad news for Shakhtar because, of course, they have to host Manchester City next. They have to go to Manchester City next, don't they? So that's going to be incredibly tough for them, with City still needing points to qualify.
Yes, absolutely. This group is still alive. This is how Group C is at the end of Matchday 4. City on 10 points. Shakhtar just ahead of Dinamo on the head-to-head, both on 5 points. Atalanta on 1. Very quickly, prediction, who's going to go through, Shakhtar or Dinamo behind City?
Dinamo.
There, we heard it from Andy Brassel. A pleasure to have your company after an extraordinary evening in the Champions League. Extraordinary week, in truth, Matchday 4. Congratulations to Bayern, Juventus and Paris Saint-Germain, who are through to the last 16. And on Wednesday, Real Madrid and Tottenham Hotspur, big wins, closed in on a place in the first knockout round. We'll be back for Matchday 5 on Tuesday the 26th and Wednesday the 27th of November from 1800 CET on both nights. More live action from the greatest club competition in the world. For full analysis on Tuesday's matches, including reaction from Frank Lampard and Dusan Tadic after the 4-4 classic between Chelsea and Ajax, download Tuesday's podcast. But for now, from myself, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
Back to Douglas Costa, still going. What a goal from Douglas Costa to send Juventus through to the round of 16. of the Champions League, and Juventus have got the game won in stoppage time. Locomotive 1, Juventus 2.
Across it goes for Son, 3-0! Beautifully worked by Tottenham. Kane's pass was superbly judged for Son. Spurs now surely heading for their first away win of the season.
Benzema towards Rodrigo! It's the night that a star is born in the UEFA Champions League. The 18-year-old wraps it up, and it's a hat-trick for the Brazilian. What a night for him.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.